Will you adhere to karma? Will you follow something different? You come into this world in a great and wonderful way. It's a great spiritual contract system that is universal wide. This time is where you allow your own life, your own intuition, to fill your heart, to fill your body, to fill your mind. It is about nurturing it inside yourself, where you'll find your own way to create your own goal, your own way of saying healing is yours, whenever you choose it.
Welcome, everyone, to another episode of Adventures into Reality. Here we are at the Galactic Historian Studio Extreme. I am joined by Natalie. Natalie, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Andrew. And boy, do we have an awesome show packed for you guys today. I think the question on everybody's lips right now, Andrew, is what's the deal with Paul McCartney?
What's the deal with Paul McCartney? The Sir John McCartney that we all know and come to have loved today is said to have died in 1966 in an accident, and all the Beatles members have been keeping it a secret since then. Now, this is one of those conspiracy theories that has jumped generations, and we've heard of numerous composers, musicians, thinkers, and philosophers who have survived a supposed death to go on and do something else in obscurity. But in this one, he didn't go on into obscurity. He went on into international fame, became knighted by the Queen herself. That's how far that went.
Mm-hmm.
So, Natalie, what were your views of the Beatles growing up? I mean, how much did they affect you?
Oh, well, growing up in the countries I grew up in, I mean, we knew about the Beatles, but it wasn't as, like, crazy as out here.
Mm-hmm.
I love their music. I really did. But I love their music amongst a whole bunch of other groups as well. But there were certain songs that really affected me, triggered something in me, stirred something up in my soul. And I think that's what made them so famous. They had some kind of an equation that really affected humanity in a really, really big way.
So for those of you out there that are new and maybe don't know much about the Beatles, if you go into any search engine and you type in F-A-U-L McCartney, and that is the faux Paul McCartney, that is the person that replaced him. And this person was supposedly a body double that had won a contest. And then after his death, they learned he was an okay guitarman. They put a big-ass beard on him, and they went on world tour. And each of the individuals had denied it over many years. And then when Ringo Starr, on his deathbed, began to say that he really died, and many of them couldn't take it, and even John Lennon and Yoko Ono, they all knew. Everyone inside the band knew.
Mm-hmm.
And then you had the higher-up corporate execs who knew they were making billions upon billions. They were also imprinting a reality with a whole new brand of advertising.
So how many people do you think actually knew? I mean, first of all, is this true? I mean, give us your take on it, first of all. I mean, we're kind of looking at what people are saying, but what's your take? Did this really happen?
Oh, yeah. Oh, it really happened.
Okay. And how many people knew in the beginning?
Hundreds.
Wow.
Every major investigative agency knew and was paid off. Like the CIA, the NSA, the Russians, all of the major agencies knew.
So they duplicated his fingerprints. I mean, how do they all do that from the medical perspective, from the DNA perspective? I mean, how?
Well, it wasn't DNA. He was a body double, and at that point in history, it was easy to change out records. There was no digital data.
So they just changed out the records.
Just changed out the records. That's the way it was done then. The world was a very different level of corruption than we have today. There was non-digital, off-books corruption.
Mm-hmm.
So a very different style. And as the story grew and grew and their popularity grew and grew, the amount of bribes grew and grew and grew. And so finally a bunch of people had to be killed off so they wouldn't sell their story in the early 80s or the early 90s.
But how could the Queen, for example, not know? Or did she know and she was just playing along? I mean, at the pinnacle of what she is and who she is, I mean, surely when it's a person, a being that affects millions across the world.
Why wouldn't you knight a being that's affected millions of people? You're projecting power, aren't you? That is the Queen's duty. Do you think she's the only queen that's ever projected false power out of a person they promoted? Every queen in history has done it.
Like you always say, there's a bastard in the woods.
It doesn't matter. Exactly. If it doesn't hear it, anyone's there to hear it, you know? So, you know, going further and further into this conspiracy of Paul McCartney, it came to a point where, as I said, Ringo Starr was on his deathbed, and he's beginning to reveal all the truths. You know, what hasn't he told us about John Lennon and his death, or what has Yoko Ono known? It was a great time of change. The world was within a hair's breadth of unity consciousness. The people were out in the streets. They were making change. There was separation of densities clearly at that time. You had the change in the rebalancing of the racial values. You had science that was meeting mysticism that was confronting the church power and domination and control. For years in a row, they were out marching in the streets with flower power. And when Paul McCartney, you know, was replaced, it was an understanding that if they didn't keep up that charade, what might happen to that whole group of people that had sought that energy?
So do you think that this was all remote viewed? And this car accident that he supposedly, well, he did die in it, obviously. Mm-hmm. This car accident that he died in, was this an accident? Was
no.
this remote viewed? I mean, how was this all constructed? And how many years ago was this actually planned?
Well, thousands of years ago. Okay. It is a timeline incursion. Whenever they or the system or an individual removes themselves from a reality through a death, and you are a gigantic personality such as that, you are making a statement, no matter what. You are a statement being from the moment you're a fetus.
Mm-hmm.
So his statement was overridden, okay? Or was his statement that I will be replaced so that I would not kill the movement?
Okay. And then also, as you can see now, when you said already at the beginning of this year and at the end of last year, you were saying that many, many things will be revealed. There'll be huge, you know, people on their deathbeds admitting to things that most people would have never even contemplated, considered, would never even come into their mindset.
Mm-hmm.
And we were talking about this earlier, calamity. You know, the calamity now of all the people that had this belief in their system that this was one person and now their world is just breaking apart. And this is actually on propaganda news as well.
Mm-hmm.
This isn't just on the internet.
The news agency, NBC and CBS News, have both got caught with their major news reporters. NBC and Fox both with their major news reporters actually reporting false stories. In one instance, Bill O'Reilly is making direct statements where he was in a country and making a report and not actually there.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's common practice in our news industry. So what does that tell you about the overall power of the news industry to craft a reality that has no truth behind it?
Well, we can't even get the right color of a dress these days. So, I mean, how
exactly.
can we see if that's real, what they're showing us in the news?
So the news of the 1960s was very different. They had war correspondents on the things showing blood and guts, not like they do today. And in America at that point wasn't doing the best in the war. They weren't the top dog in that area because it was an entrenched ancient warfare that was just bogging them down. You had Paul McCartney, you had the Beatles, you had all the other musicians at that time that were singing for freedom. And when freedom interacted with the revolution of drugs, sex, and rock and roll is where the system of domination and control began to individually limit some of these very powerful personalities. And in Paul's situation, it was an actual attempt at timeline genocide to remove his true signature frequency from the Beatles. important because there's millions upon millions of women and men who have had intense sexual fantasies from their heroes and musicians growing up, one of them being Paul McCartney.
Also absolutely accentuated with all the drugs and everything else that was going on in that time. Just, I mean, that must have been so intense.
Right. For every person that's ever said, oh, I met Paul McCartney or Ringo Starr, that story they've retold every time to their children or to their loved ones. And now that story has something removed from it.
And now, what does it look like to the children when they're like, well, you didn't even know that this guy wasn't even real? I mean, literally a thread is being pulled in the structure, and
right.
you're starting to see a slow collapse of what was to what should be, what is now.
In that construct of creating the fake Paul McCartney, think of a Jenga tower, and you pulled out one and you know it's over. There's no move to make without the tower to fall over. And that is where the Beatles are at right now. Are there other musicians out there that are just like that? Elvis left the building, but Elvis is still alive. And hundreds of others throughout time have made the exit stage right.
Oh, hang on a second. You just said live that Elvis is still alive.
Mm-hmm.
So he's still alive.
Mm-hmm. Elvis was still alive.
So what was the story there? I mean, they said he overdosed on drugs and they found him in a hotel room somewhere, wasn't it?
Well, in Elvis's situation, he had reached a point where he understood that the doctors of that area were prescribing them vitamins or Vitamix. And if anyone knows their World War II history, Vitamix is what they were feeding Adolf Hitler, and it is methamphetamine.
Wow.
And they did this to just about every major country rock and roll star. It was common practice to give uppers and downers and for them to go 4 or 5 days without sleep. And he got to a point where he could not function like that anymore, and he left, disappeared. And the agency that owned his music had to figure out, because the living will said, I'm leaving, and there were multiple copies of the living will, but they couldn't find him for the first 8 years. And when they did find him, they said, you have to remain dead because there's, you know, $35 billion on the line over the next 20 years. So, and he's not the first big person in production history that has exited that way. He had enough dirt on everyone in the industry to prove how corrupt that they were. Came at a time where most musicians, they were lucky if they saw 1% of their total earnings. Okay, and if you were a black person at that time, you lucky you saw 0.25%. You didn't own your material ever. You had no ownership of it. You were lucky if you got any percentage of the take you actually did. And then your managers were dosing you with drugs.
That's quite shocking when you start to see, you know, the background behind how they get these performers to just keep going and just get their artistic talent out of them, but just make sure that everything else is really not functioning.
Right.
Just the pure skill to bring it out, you know, when they need to bring it out.
When you look at those movies created in the 40s and 50s that were the Hollywood-centric movies of the time with the great big guys, those guys were flying high in barbiturates and in speeds and opiates because there was an onset pharmacist that did that for them, because they filmed some of those movies in 18, 20, 25 days, and everyone stayed on set and no one left until they were done.
So they just kept that locus reality and that current dream that they were creating to project. They kept that alive. So Mork and Mindy, that's also a good one. They were supposedly always taking very hard drugs.
Cocaine, generally, okay. In general. Because they could speak fast and fast and have the creativity pop into them. In most scenarios, methamphetamine or the speed-based things to just crank them up so they could go on stage and their heart wouldn't explode.
So how many, I mean, okay, let's go from a percentage, because I know there are a lot of names you don't really want to name on who's still out there. But from a percentage of all the people that we know that are famous, that are dead in the industry, in the entertainment industry, be it music or TV, what percentage are actually still here?
Not many. It's an elite club.
An elite club, okay.
For you to remain dead and the public to allow you to remain dead, because in today's society, there's facial recognition software that can get you off a bank camera within minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Within minutes. That's the nature of Big Brother. 30 years ago, the Big Brother infrastructure didn't exist.
Mm-hmm.
So it was only a handful of elites that understood what level of blackmail it took for you to stay alive. Because once you got somewhere, you probably had 5 months until you were fine. That's how powerful the agency's physical boots on the ground resources were at that time. So once you got found, or once you left a trail, they could remote view you. And once they were, or they could directly remote view you, depending on what you knew about being able to escape. In Elvis's scenario, he was exposed during World War II, some of the remote viewing networks, so he understood what was at stake when he wanted to leave. And he had a blackmail document on many of the major movie, military generals, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, what girls and boys that they were with, how they were cheating, where they were taking money. He had an extensive blackmail list.
So he basically prepared for his departure.
Correct.
I mean, he basically said, okay, this is it. I'm out. I can't do this. And then gathered all of these files, and so that basically this would be his safety so that they couldn't kill
him. His dead man switch.
His dead man, yes, that's it, dead man switch.
You do anything to me that alters my sovereignty, this goes out onto every airwave that I can manipulate in any way, shape, or form.
So do you think that these beings knew about the Matrix and the beings that are involved in implementing it? I mean,
Well, in Elvis's scenario, he grew up through World War One and Two.
Mm-hmm.
He understood that it was a beginning of a military state. So when he got exposed to military Hollywood is where he began to understand how far you could project power to.
Mm-hmm.
He saw some of the dark stuff that they did there. Didn't want to be a part of it until they drugged him to the point that he didn't realize he was consciously interacting with it, and stuck with those own horrible dreams about what was or wasn't, because was it just a haze of drugs where he was the center of ritual? And we see that with today's society in Hollywood, with all the different awards that they have and the way they put them up there as trophies and as ceremonial rituals, whether it's the Super Bowl or the Oscars.
So do you have that also, that there are famous athletes that also do specific things or have been replaced because they would have made too much of a change?
Yes. In football, they have been replacing athletes since the 70s.
Wow.
When I mean replacing athletes, like cloning them.
So
they have a very short lifespan. Like, they'll come back in, they'll recover from a knee injury, they'll have their I come to Jesus God interview moment with Howard Cosell, they'll go out and play two seasons and die.
So they would die in the real world, or they
There's
basically
a fuse.
Got a
there
bunch
was a fuse.
Clothes?
There was a fuse inside them.
Okay.
And that fuse was how much spark of competition can they put through before they burn the spark in the clone out.
Right. So what happened to the original? Where's the original in all of this?
The original soul spark is, in that scenario, is in probably a dozen clones, and those clones are probably doing hundreds of different things, or they just cloned him for that one time and made that billionaire pay a hefty amount so that they could make sure that they finished their season, because all of these games are remote viewed. So that's why so many of the sports scenarios – you had to have continuity of flow of the characters that were. Example, if Ty Cobb didn't do what he did, or if Warren Moon, a football player, didn't do what he did, the first black football player to throw for 40,000 yards in the American Football League, so on and so forth. If those personalities didn't influence history the way they did in our frame right now, the actual statistics, would we, these beings, be manifest now? No, we wouldn't. That's why replacing was so critical when you are trying to create a predictive future.
Mm-hmm.
And certain ones have to have their tip of their dicks cut off, let's simply say, in a way, so that they do only enough that the cabal wants, and then that's it. And they don't want them to be any more creatively expressive, neutering their full ability to influence beyond what the media's impressions are.
So how does that work with the family then of these, you know, superstars and rock stars and sports stars? I mean, does the family recognize this? Are they in on it? I mean,
No. So when you have a clone, I know for a lot of people this is going to be tough, but in cloning has been around since long, long, long before our modern history. So we come into cloning from Frankenstein. That's the kind of history that tries to connect alchemy to now. Before that, there were magicians raising the dead, et cetera, or creating their own magical entities. So that's been around until finally science came with a different way of explaining it. So cloning was discovered with the early DNA sequences in the early 1900s. They also learned that DNA was memories. They even learned that through the esoteric organizations long before that. But they finally created a science that can be created into a binary language that was mass searchable instead of psychic only searchable. Because there was only a smaller percentage of psychics that could search information streams, much like I do, to put together a way of explaining the way the reality worked. When it came to cloning, sometimes they needed a person to make a dozen versions of themselves with specific creative soul sparks so an integrated project can be done in a single frame of time. Mm-hmm. So many early scientists in the 20s, once they understood it, so DNA and prohibition came in, there was all this illegal alcohol money that was creating the early project talent things, which was the first super soldier projects that became time travelers that needed clones because it was specific DNAs with a light body soul spark that allowed the time traveling technology to even work.
So it's quite ingenious. You take one being with their original suit. You then spend millions of dollars training them and getting that authentic signature frequency trained, the photonic light, all of that, influence all the light beings. Then build up that photonic light and then make about 100 others of those because now what they've done is they've invested in one,
right.
But they've just multiplied it by now 100, which right. can then imprint each one. But the more you clone, mm-hmm. the less power the light source has because you're splitting the shards again and
correct.
Again and again. So these clones die off pretty quickly. They can't hold.
Unless they can get the clone into the future where it meets another version of itself and uploads its own light codes and then goes back to the past. And it expands that soul shard's ability. And that's why so many people in the future feel so unempowered.
Mm.
Because they've lost part of their I am presence technology getting mimicked somewhere else. And they don't have the sovereignty to take it back. So for people that like to find out about Project Talent, you can look up, just type in Project Talent in the search engine. And you'll discover it was a military program that took selective children and did god-awful things to them. But before this was done, every major military organization had already done all these god-awful techniques to children long before it. The Trojans, the Romans, every army in history had their kid warriors that were brought up. This was just done in a much more technological, scientific format, so you could get everything out of the person once you went to clone them. You needed the skill sets in the body, in that parasympathetic. Otherwise, you can clone something and put a spark in there, and there wouldn't be a lot of programs to how to use the technology.
Well, that's the thing, the training. I mean, they say it takes 10,000 hours before you're proficient. Mm-hmm. When you've had all of that training, you want that proficiency memory to be also coming through the neurojunctions, the parasympathetic structure, which actually activates in the muscles to do
exactly.
coordination. So to actually coordinate the whole thing, you need the memory.
Right. And then you need right. to put a being forward in the future.
Yes.
Okay. Well, once you have, let's say, a super soldier they put in the future for a specific task, let's say, to go to 1958 with proper credentials to become a lieutenant in the military that's overseeing a budget for a black project.
Mm-hmm.
And he's going to spend a whole lifetime there. He's going to live from 1950 to 1985, and he will exit the time. But he will come back. When he comes back into his original body. So he just transfers minds. And then everything that he's learned from there and done from there, they now know what is going to happen in a specific moment in time. So if that particular lieutenant signs off in a document that gives $25 million to build a black project, that ultimately is going to be the first time gate.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So they built the infrastructure with these time travel personalities who are already through mass cloning because – oftentimes, they didn't send them to the right timeline first. They would send them to 25, 30 before they found the right one. And then somebody out there who is in the quarantine field goes, they counter that. So that's why they need 3,000, 4,000, or 5,000 clones of one special individual so that they can insert them into a timeline and to 200 others to cover up what the real goal is.
So this is, for example, what would be taking place in those underwater bases that you talked about a while ago.
As underwater and underground.
Right, right. And then basically a lot of these. Now, what about test tube babies? You know where they basically grow the, mm-hmm. the physical construct, mm-hmm. and then they put a soul in it. It's a little bit different to cloning. It's them taking specific understanding.
Cloning and test tube babies, they're almost the same thing.
Right.
Okay. For our reality to believe that cloning was possible, you needed to come up with a way for science to say that it could work.
Mm-hmm.
Just like science came up with a way to find that flat Earth was flat.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So they said if you have an egg and a sperm and a volume of sperm and the right environment with the right proper things, you could get them to separate outside of the fetus.
Mm-hmm.
Well, from a spiritual perspective, without the fetus, you don't have the membrane of the reality unless you have a piece of technology that mimics it. So they have false light technology that mimics a fetus. Thus, they can create an egg to separate. Okay? It's just like having an incubator for eggs,
mm-hmm.
or whatever, you know, whatever plants that you have them in their propagation stage.
Mm-hmm.
So they can do that with all forms of life. With false light technology, they can clone something, but it's a matter of if that false light technology is severely abusing the light body of the incarnating entity, or if that false light technology's original purpose has been misused. Like some false light technology that we call it is there so that you can duplicate grass or trees and then have one entity come in and occupy 75 square miles of land.
Yeah, and you see, this is what I was also thinking about as you were going through this explanatory process, is that that the equations are already there, that we're possible to mimic that without actually having to create and take a physical life force and its life and its identity and whatever else away. You can actually create the texture of the meat, and apparently it tastes quite good.
Mm-hmm.
So this whole process, this whole slaughtering of all of these animals and these breeding farms where they're basically
completely unnecessary.
It's completely unnecessary. But instead of using this technology to take away salvation and continue the drama and trauma with the animals, they're cloning people.
Or they are keeping human souls in DNA skin suits, not having experiences with no DNA technology that shows them human memories.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, a couple years ago, there was a mass slaughtering of cows in Europe,
mm-hmm.
by, I think, 40 million cows or 50 million head of cattle. Those aren't all cattle souls in there. A cattle is a designed, engineered skin suit technology that has been in our impression for thousands of years, and false light technology is forcing humans in there. And it's such a limited skin suit technology, it only functions in four colors.
So instead of saying holy shit, we're saying holy cow to that one.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
So
how do you know? How can you say? I mean, I know a lot of people have great relationships with cows.
There is the predator prey contractual level we have here with the planet.
Mm-hmm.
So one of those fundamental things that coming into Earth was you're learning to be in the predator prey network or out of the predator prey network. Mm-hmm. Once you're out of the predator prey network, you can sufficiently generate chi where you no longer need to consume. And you are constantly giving out light for other things to gift to you more life force for experience, like a piece of fruit or a bat that decides to give its energy to you.
Mm-hmm.
Because you were a part of that full abundance where they come and give their frequency to you because it is their moment and contractually choice to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Totally different way of living.
Directly connected with source and the actual equation of the balancing of all
right.
that is in this moment of time.
Correct.
Because you also said before that we didn't have a one-time point, a predator-prey scenario with the animals. At one time point, it wasn't like that.
Correct.
And that we say, you know, the king of the forest and all of these things and this is a predator and this is a prey. It wasn't like that in the beginning. In the beginning, everything had its equal locus reality.
It had
its
equal locus reality. And very rarely the bubbles of realities cross over unless they were contractually to create something new.
Mm-hmm. And that was then a common agreement that everybody sort of like got together who was involved in that equation.
Mm-hmm.
The frequency started to match, and that's how the equation then naturally evolved. It's the evolution of how that was at
correct,
that moment.
Correct, in most scenarios, but
mm-hmm.
not all of them.
Okay.
And some bubbles of reality developed out of sentient mold that just figured out how to copy a DNA skin suit from another reality through dreaming about it.
Amazing, isn't it?
I mean, there's infinite amounts of realities in Hollow Earth and an infinite amount of realities on our surface. We just learn to perceive them.
Mm-hmm.
And then to understand our perceptions and say, hey, how does this apply to our understanding of evolution? You know, the theory of evolution and all of that stuff can be called a bunch of hooey, but it is some logic that helps us understand the process of life. it isn't all chaos in this and what they were trying to project. There is a way for life to come in. When we understand there's an incarnation process for all life, they use this DNA skin suit technology, and for them to perceive time, they need some form of ancestors.
Mm-hmm.
So that means something else that's in that skin suit that has passed. So when you set up a blank Akashic record world and then get a propagation of souls incarnating there, those souls there will come together in unity and create a brand new skin suit for a whole bunch of people to transit out of flowers and this and that to come have the new experience.
You were mentioning also about, I think it was in South America, there was a highly intelligent mold or fungi. Do you remember? You were...
Yes, yes. It's about 3.5 kilometers long. Actually, it's in Japan. That's
Japan.
Currently, it's the largest living being in the world.
Yeah.
It was the General Sherman tree in the Sequoia Forest, but now they found a fungus patch, yes. It's
amazing.
One piece of fungus patch. It's the largest entity in the world.
So what other phenomena do you see being unveiled, like this fungus patch? I mean, more and more and more with the technology we have, we're able to see things, but how much this year is going to be actually unveiled of what they've discovered with the new technologies that most people now have available to them in those, you know, in those areas?
I think some of the biggest things you're going to see is how realities in certain areas suddenly jump back from disasters. There's this thing about the Gulf oil disaster, about how bad it really is down there. Because it is bad in certain areas because it's being forcefully believed by the propaganda.
Mm-hmm.
And there are other areas that have heavily recovered because something has come in and assisted in their recovery. And then there are other parts that are broken down because the realities aren't working together anymore. So the way the land jumps back, the way the land glows in color. Have you ever gone out at night on a full moon and just kind of see the leaves reflecting the glow?
Oh, it's one of the most beautiful experiences being in those moon rays.
Imagine it being no moon at all and totally black, and then all of a sudden all the leaves are glowing like as if it were a full moon. Optical illusions like that will appear. Sunrise to sunset. You may notice one day that it's setting way farther than it should have, or it's setting much earlier, like you look at your clock and it says 4:34 and the sun should be going down till 7 o'clock.
You know, that's actually already been happening.
Mm-hmm.
That's actually already been happening. And all of a sudden you see the sun and there's the moon, and then the next day everything's changed and you're like, hang on a second, I know at this exact time when I was standing in this exact place yesterday, I've actually started taking notes and then also taking pictures of some of the incredible clouds that have been coming across this mountain.
Cloud phenomenon. You know, we can control the clouds with our minds, and if we have a collective effort to begin to break up the dense clouds and the weather control, we can do tremendous good for this world. But until there's that central location of groups that are doing that, we have to deal with the now, what we can do.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the most important doing things is taking your time to connect to nature. So, you know, in this show, we've talked about, you know, from Paul McCartney to Elvis to time-traveling super soldiers. And, well, what do we do with this data? What do we do is we lock it away as part of our information that's in knowing this.
Mm-hmm.
And the authentic factors will connect to other authentic factors that help us during contemplation moments to go, well, maybe 25, 30 years ago, when Paul McCartney was a superstar, there must have been 50, 60 middle-aged women who were going through their middle-age change and thinking about their boyhood dream and how they could have married Paul McCartney, and they have their own individual fantasies. That right there just shows you how quick a reality can fall apart. Just like Baghdad Bob in the second Iraq war, he was out, it was a news reporter, we call him Baghdad Bob because he was a propaganda reporter saying that the state was doing perfect, and he was out doing an interview in Baghdad Square, and all of a sudden an American tank comes around the corner, he drops the mic and yells, "Everyone run." Moments like that come to us. Those moments where the reality just can't go, oops, reset, camera. You know, hey, we need new props. The black cat's coming by 4 times this time.
Yeah.
And that matrix expression begins to see how easily people can be Agent Smithed. And they're their own Agent Smith because they're just following their program of disbelief.
It's almost like we're starting to be able to observe the ripples in reality, the actual ripples. We're starting to see the actual ripples.
And create them.
And yes, and then start to create them and then watch them being emanated. And that's that gets a lot of fun. when you're playing with the clouds, and then all of a sudden you're thinking of something and you hear the bird and it's starting to go with you whilst you're thinking of certain things, and you're thinking, why is it singing like that? And it's starting to sing in sync with the things that
you're thinking.
Quite incredible, I have to say, Andrew.
So synchronicities are all around us. We just have to be aware of them. So the synchronicities of this show, the volume of information that's put out, you know, that's something for people to contemplate a little bit, because, you know, the regular listeners, they know that we just turn on the faucet of information. It keeps coming and coming and coming and coming. Well, now we're saying, here's what to do with this faucet of information. Make it in a file of things that are just knowing. It's not about knowing this is true or false. It is in your knowing, so you can begin to create patterns of your own self-recognition.
There was another aspect we were talking about when learning how to start to influence and emanate more what it is we're wanting to influence, and the specific crystals that one can have, and the salt, which we can go into again. But Andrew was doing this amazing reading, and there was this really gifted young man, and his deal was to make fourth, fifth, you know, we were talking about that in the future, how we wanted clothing to be made. Mm-hmm. And were there a bunch of people that we've been talking to recently, and then you also had some person that you did a reading with.
They were meant to make fifth dimensional clothing.
And it was so interesting because we had already been planning that out, what kind of clothing we'd like to make and what it would look like and how you could create a hoodie, for example, with all the different crystals around it, because so many people like to wear hoodies for the mere fact that it covers their thoughts to the outside world. That was one little trick that you were telling me recently.
Also, the hood has been in people's residual images for thousands of years.
Yes.
Think of how simple of a piece of clothing it is to make.
That's right.
It can even be made out of grass, woven grass.
Hemp
jackets all the time, hemp hoods. So the hoodie is its own residual image technology. And clothing is technology. You know, the studio we're using is a green room. You would never know that this entire studio isn't real, would you?
Well, yeah, that's true. That's true. But going back to the hoodies, I just wanted to say about the different crystals that you could put on.
You could do that. You could put silver thread, gold thread in them.
Yes.
There's all sorts of advanced things that you can do.
And then you can just play around with it when, you know, of course, sometimes when you're doing rough drafts, you're obviously not going to go out into public where, you know, your boss is looking at you going, what on earth are you wearing?
Right.
But you can play around with it in your breaks or on the weekends, and then you can just sit with something like that and see how you start to interact with nature. See when you're looking at that sky or an outline of something. See if you can get the outline to start to fade a little bit or move a little bit. See how that... how your interaction begins to play with the photonic light that you are and the crystals helping you emanate that through this reality that's starting really to bifurcate, as you so beautifully say.
So I have a challenge for people to look at your socks of fourth dimensional items that are not in consumerism or materialism. What would fourth dimensional socks look like?
I've got horses on my socks.
I mean, why do people wear plaid socks? Because it brings color to their feet. Think about the technology of socks. And it is technology, spiritual technology.
It is.
As well as a hood, as well as a belt, as well as a blazer.
Well, you know, when I was starting to learn about the energy of colors, and, you know, we used to, when I was doing specific grounding exercises, we used to wear red socks. Why? Because that was then the influence of the red and then using that energy to help you stay really grounded. It was something that I was playing around with because, you know, someone said one day, hey, why don't you try this? Or then different shapes that you can put on.
Or meditate with a red candle.
Yeah, yes, all the different types of colors of candles. And then you can use those colors and use them actually on your physical body. And prepare the linen. When you're saying gold and silver, you can take actually those threads and do ceremony with those threads and have those threads bear witness to about 3, 6, 9 months or whatever you're doing of meditation or even a special 3-day ceremony that you're doing just for this thread. And then you're actually imprinting your equations and emanations into that thread. And then you can use that thread and you can stitch it, like you were saying, around where your heart is or the back behind your ribcage and all the way along your spine.
okay, fourth dimensional clothing can be color changing also.
Oh, yeah.
Where much like a bird that's poofed himself up, so you can give off all sorts of physical colors for people to see, as well as psychic emanations that make your intentions much easier understood.
Like we have this umbrella, it's black, but when it rains, it goes all the rainbow colors.
Goes all the rainbow colors.
I mean, that's just so much fun when you have little things like that. Or something that just, when you have been in light a lot and you go into a darker room, you'll actually start to glow.
Yeah,
because it just holds all that light and reflects it.
I remember in the early 1990s, they came out with a clothing line that would react to your body temperature and change colors, and they rapidly pulled it off, even though everybody wanted it, because people were starting to see auras around it. It was training their minds to see auras.
So you see, that technology already exists.
Yeah.
We just need to bring it back.
It needs to be brought back in a non-toxic format.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
You don't want it ink-based.
Yeah, I know, but I'm sure we have enough technology, especially in fabrics these days. When we were talking about those
Going back to all natural textiles, such as the hair or hair of an Inca or of a llama or hemp.
Mm-hmm.
But the hair of the llama has these dense energy cords at the end. When you actually look at them, they're these intense pieces of fiber that energy can be put through, just like hair. Now, you can make clothing out of it. They've been doing it in clothing and fiber and textiles out of llama hair since the beginning of the llama as history, because that's what his hair's technology was designed for, as a resource to use.
So we'll get those spinning wheels out again, and then we'll just, I mean, I remember my grandmother sitting there, and she had the spinning wheel, and she would actually make her own wool for knitting.
Mm-hmm.
And it's quite the experience, because that's literally going through your hands. You're actually, you're making magical material there. You're feeling every single piece that goes through your hands into the wheel, and then you wind with the wool, and then you're actually stitching it. It's alchemy in one of its most basic forms.
Oh, yeah, that direct manifestation alchemy.
Mm-hmm.
And in some scenarios, they're taking like llama hair and blending it with spider web. Now, that is super advanced technology in that can be used in other realities, that it can have special functions or use not just high tensile strength, but when you're adding the web of the spider, adding the dream element into textiles.
So you have also the silkworm element that they use.
Same thing.
So I've read about this, where they're actually using the webs of spiders, because that is, it is known as one of the most strongest
stronger
materials.
Than steel.
Amazing. And there's so many exciting things happening right now in our world. There's so many new technologies coming out. There's so many conspiracies that are now being non-conspiracy because the propaganda news is talking about it. As soon as the propaganda news talks about it, it loses the label conspiracy.
Right.
So I think we're going to see a lot of that.
Then it goes into the realm of entertainment.
Indeed.
See, we haven't allowed conspiracy into the realm of entertainment. That's a big hunk of material that hasn't gone from the conspiracy world into the straight comedy world or the entertainment world. You have things like TMZ or the rag papers or the different, you know, the daily news that come out with their version of Hollywood news or Hollywood propaganda news and all of that stuff. When they make it entertainment, it means the system has just emasculated itself.
Mm-hmm.
And then people being entertained, like once Ancient Aliens became entertainment and not History Channel programming, people began to just foo-foo the Ancient Aliens things, which made much less people look into the books. Much less people look into even the possibility of that which Christian people 400 or 2,000 years ago said was God was actually something else.
Yeah. A lot of that's going to be coming out.
Okay.
A lot of it's going to be changed. And I think a lot of people are going to start having those I told you so moments. But the beauty of an I told you so moment is that if you're in sacred neutral, you'll just grin.
You don't need to say, I told you so.
You don't need to say, I told
you
so.
You just say, the cosmic joke has played itself.
All right.
And I am an audience member, not an entangled person.
Exactly.
That's what sacred neutral is. You can laugh.
And clap.
And clap. Oh, yay, propaganda news is failing. So everyone, get your popcorn ready. You're going to see lots and lots of mistakes that they're going to try to erase live on air. If you thought some of the other stuff that they did was dumb, just wait till they start trying to cover up, you know, lakes that glow for 10 days in a row.
Exactly. Can't wait.
Yeah. Or things that show up on security video feeds as your morning person comes in to check the video feed, and you know, all of a sudden there's $500 in the register and a person that clocked in even though the register was closed.
Well, what about all those pyramids that are going to miraculously start appearing out of the sea and already have, and someone's just flying on a plane and it's like, oh, let's just take a cloud picture. What?
Exactly. You know, things in the sky, and they're going to come up with the swamp gas reflecting off the moon lines, and we just have to be honest and go, we've heard that one before, system. Fool me once, you know, one thing, fool me twice, shame on me. So we're not going to shame on me. We're going to start fact-checking your ass.
Exactly.
All right, everyone, this has been a really fun show. Natalie, thank you very much.
Thank you, Andrew. Your words, again, have been amazing and so enjoyable. Thank you.
All right, everybody, stick around for 1 o'clock.